Hi, I'm Sophie, and this is Age Well with Dr. Sophie Schotter, a space where, together with my producer Fee, I talk to good friends and trusted experts on how they age well, whether it's their latest supplement stack, what's on their bathroom shelf, or a new biohacking device that really seems to work. Because for me, aging well is all about looking and feeling like the best possible version of ourselves, both inside as well as out. Remember, you can also find even more ideas and expert tips on my social channels at Dr. Sophie Schotter. I'd love you to come and join me over there too. So this is my show. Welcome along. As always, thank you so much for listening.
And this week, Fee and I are in conversation with Liberty Mills.
Liberty, welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you here.
I'm super grateful to be here.
So I'd love to start with your personal story, because from fertility to recovery, from a very serious autoimmune disease, you've been on an amazing journey. And by the way, I believe you also have dyslexia. So I'm quite impressed you've managed to write a book.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
So yeah, I'd love to hear your personal story.
Okay, so I was always, you know, that sickly child that was, I caught everything that was going, from scarlet fever to the, I don't know, chicken pox, everything that was going, German measles. And I always got it really, really bad. And then when I was a teenager, I was the opposite of most girls. I just couldn't put on weight. I was painfully thin. I was bullied and had the nickname Anna for anorexic. But I wasn't anorexic.
That's horrendous.
Yeah. High school wasn't great for me. With my dyslexia as well, I was, you know, bullied by the teachers. They didn't understand my dyslexia. And it was not a great time. And then cut to 30, I was modeling, thought life was just wonderful. I had, she would be, what, a seven-year-old. I just bought my first flat. I was in love, you know, it was great. And I developed this huge rash on my face. And I thought it was because for the first time I'd bought a posh sunscreen instead of Nivea. And I blamed it on that. I was like, oh, I shouldn't have bought it. And long story short, after about 9 months, I was diagnosed with SLE. So it's a type of lupus. For me, it was attacking my skin. So hence the rash, but it was also attacking my joints, my weight, my menstrual cycle was all over the place. I was bleeding for about 3 weeks out of the four, and it was like gushing. I remember being in the shower once, and it was just like, I thought literally my insides were going to fall out. I was like, I shouldn't be bleeding like this. Cluster migraines, my hair fell out. I used to have this huge, beautiful afro, and it was just patchy. And I don't mean just like thin, I mean like full on, like someone had ripped it out in places. So yeah, that was me till 30.
And at what point did you get the diagnosis?
I was really blessed. I got the rash in the July, and by the November I was diagnosed. And that's super quick, because on average it's around 9 years. But I'd obviously been ill a long time before. And it had been missed.
It sounds to me like when you developed some of the, I use these words loosely, but common symptoms of lupus, of SLE, yeah, that's when it was then spotted, because there are so often so many vague and non-specific signs you probably had along the way.
Yeah, definitely. I think, what do they call it? Is it like the Houdini? Because it masks as so many other illnesses. So it may not just, I don't know what the word would be, but it may be diagnosed as, you know, you may have migraines and you have an irregular cycle and you have rheumatoid arthritis. But actually when someone looks at it together, then they're like, oh, actually she has an autoimmune disease.
And are we right in saying that you were basically using a wheelchair or assisted apparatus to get out of bed?
I didn't use a wheelchair. I had a lever to get me out of bed. I had a Zimmer frame. I had a walker. I had a perch in the kitchen so I could prepare food for my child. I had apparatus for the toilet that was like over the toilet. So it was easier for me to get on and off. And I was no longer able to use the bath. I had to have like a stool in the shower, and it was like a lever to get me off the stool to get out of the shower. And my sofa was raised so I could get on and off the sofa.
And you were in your 30s?
Yeah, I was in my 30s. I remember when the gentleman came to fit it all. And he said, oh, it's so nice you're here to help your grandma. Oh. And I said, no, it's for me.
So how did you approach healing? And what would you say are the most powerful things you did? And I guess to throw a third question in, how quickly did you notice change? Because I recall the Deliciously Ella founder, Ella Mills, talking about a similar autoimmune health crisis. And she mentioned that tangible change took a really long time. So I'd love to know what you did and what the timeline was like.
I say that to my clients that I coach sometimes, like, I'm not seeing a difference. And I say, well, it took many years for you to get to this state. And if you think of it as a pile of washing, it takes a certain amount of time to get through it. You know, you've got to wash it, you've got to dry it, you may need to hand wash it. There's different things until you're able to wear it all nice clean again and to get those stains out. And some are deeper than others. You know, I had a stain on a velvet jacket the other day and it took 4 washes to get it out. You know, and 5 different ways of trying to remove the felt tip from it. And it's similar to this. But for me, I was really blessed. I did notice tangible difference. I was able to go down from, say, taking 10 painkillers a day to 2 within about 6 to 8 weeks. And that was a huge difference for me.
Yeah, that's a quick change.
Yeah.
What were you doing though? How did you approach it?
Well, of course, I was on all the prescription medication, and I don't suggest anyone ever stops their medication. Always work with your medical team and work with your markers and see what you can do outside of there within your lifestyle or with perhaps a functional medicine doctor or a nutrition coach to lower those markers. And then when you go back, you know, your consultant will say, wow, these markers have gone down. Or you say, I'm not as much in pain. I can lower my medication. So for me, first thing was a huge thing. I was a vegetarian. And I started having bone broth 3 times a day. And that's a big thing for a person that has been a vegetarian since they were like 8, you know. So that was a thing because my gut was all over the place. So start to heal the gut. I worked with a great guy called Raj Bachu, who's a functional medicine practitioner. And he threw every potion at me, pill, changed my diet. We worked on doing meditation, everything. Actually, we were just talking, you and I, before about water. That was the first thing he changed for me was my water.
Filtering it.
Yeah. I got an Ever filter. That was the first thing he changed for me because it's something you're going to have every single day.
Hopefully in abundance.
Exactly, right? So if you're having 2 to 3 liters of contaminated water, how are you trying to get better? If you're washing in contaminated water, how is your hair going to grow back? How is your skin going to heal? If you're bathing in it, your skin is your biggest organ. And if you're, you know, you're stepping into the shower and opening those pores and letting all those chemicals in, you're not going to get well quickly.
Yeah. And Sophie has done an amazing podcast episode on drinking water and everything we're just talking about, released in October. So scroll back and listen to that. You also faced a later life fertility challenge that you've been very open about, and you're now known as a fertility coach as well. Can you again tell us your story and your approach with this specifically with fertility and actually why you came to have this challenge and what your story is in that respect?
This is my biggest passion. I always thought it would be autoimmune would be the work that I would go into, but it's actually been fertility because I am sick and tired of the prejudice that there is both sides and ignorance within the medical system that we have set up at the moment. Women are just discounted generally after 35. And we are not treated as individuals. We are not necessarily treated or even investigated into our blood work, which is just negligence as far as I'm concerned. And men are not even given any really investigation from the beginning until they may have done a couple of rounds of IVF. So with me, I was 43. I trotted along very expectant and asked my GP for some fertility tests because I wanted to know where I was starting. I suggest to everyone to get blood work all of the time because there's no point in popping pills here, there and everywhere unless you know what you're working from and what you need to work to. She took off her glasses like she literally couldn't believe that I was asking for these tests. Like she couldn't believe her eyes that she had to get closer to me to ask this question. And she said, do you know how old you are? And I said, yeah, of course I know how old I am. And she looked down at my work and she was like, but you were born in 1974. And I said, yes. She said, that's the year I was born. She said, you're not going to be able to do this without IVF and egg donor.
By this stage, you'd already had one daughter. And just to be clear, were you trying to conceive the second child naturally and it wasn't happening?
Yeah, it hadn't happened. I'd had a very, very early miscarriage. And I wanted to know what was going on in my body. Was my thyroid okay? Did I need to up my B vitamins? And I wanted to know what my AMH was. And I was almost laughed out of the surgery. And I think she was shocked by my shocked face. And I said, you know, it's my right to have these tests. I pay my taxes. You've got to give me these tests. And she did. She did. She gave me these tests. But then she jotted down an IVF clinic that she suggested in London that I go to. And I did. I went there. And they wouldn't take my money either. They said, you know, the percentages are, if you're over 40, they're very low. We're looking at your AMH. You have one ovary is just completely empty. You have a really low AMH. You're old. You have a history of autoimmune. Your partner's sperm, it's good. It's okay. It's not perfect. We suggest egg donor and you would have ICSI. I was okay with egg donor. I really, really wanted a child. My father that brought me up wasn't my biological father. And I know that you can love a child and be an amazing parent without being their biological parent. But that wasn't the case for my partner. And I had to respect that. So I said, hey, I'm doing this course. I actually think I want to help people like us. Why don't I just work with us for 3 to 4 months? We try and up our blood work and I can't increase my amount of eggs, but I can increase the quality and lower any inflammation. We can increase your sperm morphology and then we'll go back to them and see if they'll take our money. And in that time, I got pregnant.
Incredible. So the protocol was essentially, as you say, you can't increase the number of eggs, but you can increase the quality and lower inflammation. So what did you specifically do to make that happen? Again, was it diet? Was it water? Was it bone broth?
Oh, it was literally like everything, everything. So we're both living in London. Of course, it's stressful. So we both started incorporating like meditations. I was very, very sporty and probably putting too much pressure on my body. I would go to the gym at least an hour a day, sometimes 2-3 hours on the weekends because I was doing stick fighting training on the weekends. So I was putting my body under a lot of stress and not a lot of recovery. So I dropped a lot of that.
So is that, I mean, this kind of rings true with a lot of the stuff that you talk about, Sophie, in terms of this thing around hormesis controls stress and how often that's great for men. But for some people looking to lower inflammation, like me, post-chemotherapy, again, at the time of recording, one of my big things is actually looking to lower inflammation, looking to not have that hormesis, looking to not do intermittent fasting. This is interesting because this ties in with a lot of the stuff that we've talked about, including regular blood work that we've talked about on our home test kits episode as well.
Yeah, I do think knowledge is power. And I think also just learning to listen to your own body, which is exactly what Liberty's just talking about there with, yeah, she was really sporty, but realised that actually maybe she was doing a little too much, and too much of anything isn't good for you. So it's about learning to listen to yourself and what your body's trying to tell you. And that sort of healthy but balanced lifestyle is when most of our bodies are happiest, and therefore when things like falling pregnant can happen most easily.
Well, is there anything, Liberty, that didn't work? I mean, across the board, not just in terms of fertility, but in terms of your entire health journey and healing from autoimmune disease, from lupus, any snake oil moments, anything of like, oh no, any supplements that you just, you know, throwing good money up?
Yeah. For me, and this is only me, the Chinese medicine herbs, I literally vomited. So obviously it wasn't working for me.
Yeah.
Really wasn't working for me. Acupuncture really did. For me, going down the whole supplement route at the beginning, that just blew my mind. Because I just thought, oh, I can just go and pick up a fertility supplement. But it wasn't that simple. So I found it quite stressful. I was like, why are they putting this in? This isn't going to help me. This is going to hurt my tummy. And why are they putting this in? This isn't the amount I'm meant to have.
Yeah, really interesting. Thank you.
One thing I did notice about you and your work, Liberty, are your views on dishwasher and laundry detergents, and the fact that both of these can contain harmful chemicals that are suspected to be endocrine disruptors. So by that, I mean things that can potentially disrupt the body's hormone system. It'd be great to delve a little bit more into that.
Someone pulled me up. I am dyslexic, so also I find it hard to pronounce things. So if anyone's listening, they want to pull me up, feel free. Alcohol exothelates, endocrine disruptors. Yes. So just think also you're eating your food off these plates. They've been found within the plates. It's something that we use day in, day out. Also think about laundry detergent. Anything with fragrance quite often is the same. So perfumes, you know, if you have a newborn baby, quite often they say don't wear perfume, or midwives aren't allowed in general that I know of, and doulas especially don't wear perfume because it really affects the baby. Bleach. Bleach is a huge endocrine disruptor, messes with the thyroid. It's banned in my house. Even if the cat is sick, it's still banned in the house.
Well, we're all too clean anyway, aren't we? Because we're, you know, one of my best friends is a vet. He's like Fee. He's been saying it for years. We're too clean. We need to have a little bit of bacteria.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you look at people, careers where people have lower fertility levels, and it often it's cleaners and hairdressers. What do they both use? Bleach.
That's really interesting. We're going to dig out some studies actually on that, put them in the show notes, because this could be a podcast in itself, couldn't it? Really, it's really fascinating.
So in this season of the podcast, I'm curious to delve into people's daily routines and some of their hero products across skin, across wellness. And Fee and I both take a lot of nutritional supplements, but they're not taken blindly or as an alternative to a really varied and fiber-rich diet. I read an interview where you talked about supplements and issues around bulking agents, which is something I'm also really passionate about, and also powdered supplements that are just full of artificial sugar. So I'd love to know, what is in your supplement stack? Why do you take what you take? I'm assuming you take supplements.
Oh, yeah.
And can I also do a quick fact check? Are you still, because you talked about vegetarianism, are you still pescatarian? Is that where you're
I'm
at now?
I'm a pescatarian. That's where I'm at now. I've jumped a bit. I eat chicken. I eat organic chicken about twice a week.
It's that thing of knowing what your body needs. I have a good friend who's vegetarian, and every now and then she just knows she needs to eat a steak. And so she does. Not even every week, but she just feels it in herself. And when she's eaten it, she feels better.
Yeah, I'm naturally slim, and I get too tiny if I don't eat chicken. I just do. My skin is better. I sleep better. Fish is great. I have it like three. My oily fishes, I love mackerel. I love anchovies, you know, a great source of vitamin D. But chicken, organic chicken. Also, I like to make my own bone broth as well. I just like the ritual. So my view on supplements is the sea, the land, the livestock is not what it used to be. So it doesn't matter how healthy I try to be with my food, I'm most likely not going to meet the markers that I need to for our daily lives. You know, I'm a mum, I'm a grandma, I'm a business coach, I just written a book, I'm a partner, I'm a friend. You know, the phone is going ping, 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 ping a lot, even though it's constantly on silent. It stresses us out. So my stack is vitamin D always. I did a post about it the other day. I take quite a lot compared to what are the guidelines, but my bloods, the last time I did a home test kit, were 83. And yeah, I take quite a lot every day, but I'm primarily indoors.
I do exactly the same. I take, I think I'm on 4,000 units a day.
Yeah.
But my vit D levels are perfect, like completely optimal whenever I do a test.
Yeah.
And we all need slightly different amounts.
Exactly. So I take around between 4,000 to 5,000 a day. And that's because I'm primarily indoors. But I'm at 83, so that's a good mark. You know, I just had a lady today and she is 39 and her GP suggested that she take 1,000 a day. And that, sorry, she's not age 39. Her vitamin D is 39.
Vitamin D level is 39.
Yeah, 39.
That's
and
not
that's
good.
Way below the NHS levels and way below the World Health Association's recommended level.
What brand do you take? And do you take D3 with K2?
I do take it with DK2 and I take my magnesium with it as well. So the two brands I take are, I take Bare Biology and then I swap between that. It depends where I'm at, if I'm traveling or not. And then I'll take Do Not Age because it has the magnesium in it as well. And my little girl takes the Better You spray. She loves it.
Are those the only two that you take, magnesium and vitamin D?
Oh, no. Oh, okay. No.
Strap in.
No, get in. Get ready for the ride. I'm 50, right? I need my omega 3. So Bare Biology again. Mm-hmm. I take the Life and Soul capsules and sometimes a liquid. Just depends what I'm making food that day. I take a B complex. I don't even know who that's from. It's in a glass jar. I should probably go upstairs and see who it's from. I take spirulina and chlorella, but oh my gosh, how do you pronounce them? I think it's called Sanator. They're a German brand. It's because it's German farmed. That's why I like it. And it's not from off the coast of China where the water is quite polluted. So that's why I don't take most of the other spirulinas and chlorellas. What else do I take? Oh, I've been taking it, gosh, for 6 years since I was pregnant. I take New Zest Good Green Vitality.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they've changed the name. I get confused. I take that because I eat a lot of greens. But so when I coach clients, I say green is go, think traffic lights. Each meal's got to have two greens. But some meals, you know, they don't have a green in it. You know, some dish, say I'm making a dal or something. Yeah, I'll have lots of coriander, but I'm not necessarily going to have cucumber with it. So I might have a green supplement on the side. Then at night, I will take my magnesium because I'm not the best sleeper in the world unless I take it. And that I take British supplements. They're my basics.
Yeah.
It depends where I'm at. If I'm stressed and things are, you know, or if I, when I was writing, I was taking a lot of L-theanine. I was taking L-theanine in the morning around 10:30. For, you know, focus, cognitive, you know, keeping
okay.
on it.
What about, just quickly, any CBD oil, any functional mushrooms, lion's mane, nothing like that? Or
started trying out with mushrooms. CBD oil I tend to use in the winter because post-COVID, I've still got a little bit of inflammation and it seems like every winter I get COVID hands again. And the only thing that helps them is going in cryo, hyperbaric oxygen chamber therapy, and lots of CBD oil on my hands at night. And then that keeps them at bay.
And where do you go for your cryo?
It depends if I'm up north or I'm down in London. Depends where I am. I like going to Human. It's because it's doctor-led. There's Dr. E there, and I like the fact that I feel safe. Or I'll go to Wellness Lab, where that's run by scientists there. Up north, I will go to Positive IV. Because I do like an IV every now and again as a boost.
Yeah, cool. In terms of food, I mean, what do you normally eat for breakfast? And I guess tacked on to that, do you ever have like a cheat day? Is there anything that you will never, ever touch ever again? Gluten, dairy, alcohol, like generally
gluten.
Speaking.
I can't have gluten. It will massively affect me. My lips swell up. My face goes, my partner calls it, you're going pig face. My face goes pink and swells up. I'm like, I must be like allergic to it. And my throat starts to close. My gut will go everywhere and I'll just be in immense pain.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't touch gluten. I've been on a, not sound like I'm an alcoholic, but I've been on an alcohol journey. I decided, obviously, when I was trying to conceive, you give up alcohol. Then I was blessed enough to conceive. I gave up alcohol still. I was breastfeeding. I gave up alcohol. Then within my studies and learning about what alcohol does to the body, I was like, I can't even believe this is legal. And it really, it literally turned my stomach. Reading about what it does to the body, to the gut especially, and to the brain, I just thought, I don't want to touch this again. And in the last 5 years, I've had, I can count how many drinks I've had, 6 drinks. I've had 6 drinks. So that's my cheat, I guess. That's it. But when my clients come to me and they say, what about cheat day or treat day? I say, I don't really like the way PTs have framed this phrase, cheat day, because the only person you're cheating is yourself and you're cheating your future self. So I don't see it as a cheat, because I'm cheating myself. Why would I do that? No. So I'm pretty hardcore about that when clients come to me. I'm like, no, we don't do that. Because a treat to me is like what I had for lunch. So I had half an avocado, quite a few tablespoons of kimchi because I love it, some tahini, an egg. I think I had anchovies, some lentil pasta, some corn, some peas, and lots of parsley. That's a treat to me. I mean, I will. There is an amazing gluten-free bakery in London. And trust me, every time I go to London, I will go there. It used to be refined sugar-free, but it isn't anymore. But they use minimal sugar. So that, I guess that's my only treat cheat. But it is still gluten-free.
What is the name of it?
It's called Libby's Bakery, and they came to it from a autoimmune story themselves.
Noted.
It's phenomenal. I was there yesterday. I love it.
So shifting gears slightly over to skincare, do you have a routine? And again, what products do you absolutely love that really work for you? So skin, hair, nails.
Right. Okay. So my nails, I would say, is the New Zest Greens, Good Green Vitality, because my partner will even say to me, have you been taking your greens? Your nails don't look as good. You know, that's, he's a trendy guy. He's like, your nails, they're not as good. They're like breaking. I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. They're much better on the greens. So that's for my nails. My skin, of course, as you know, it's been a journey. I used to have the lupus rash. I used to have a lot of pigmentation, textural issues as well. Like I used to model and I was known as the pigmentation girl and textural issue girl on QVC for Cover Up.
Wow. Claim to fame.
Yeah, not. But then my skin, it was funny because they said, oh, your skin's getting so much better. We can't use you in that. We're going to have to use you for like the mascara and things like that now because your skin has become so much better. It became better when I tried to go as much as possible toxin-free within my skincare.
So what do you use?
What do I use? So cleanser, I'm loving the Balance Me Balm because I'm quite rough with my skin. I'm not, you know, I don't have time. By the time I've got my child into bed, then done a client, then played cards with my partner or whatever, I just want to get my makeup off and get into bed. So I use that because it's easy and it gets my lashes of mascara off very easy, and it lasts a long time and it doesn't strip my skin. What else have I been using lately? There's so many great brands out there. Nibu. She also had lupus, reversed it also. And Nibu Naturals. I'll use her Glow to Sleep. I've been using Tropic Skincare for pre-lockdown. I like their serums. There's one called Fruit Peel. I like that one. And they've also got a greens one. But I wouldn't use it in the morning. I think it's too greasy. What did I use this morning? I use a lot of tallow. You can tell I'm no longer a vegan. Great for dry skin in the winter. Really good for layering up on a skin mask. And then I've just started using a new brand that I just think is brilliant. I think they're called Skin Diligent. And they say, even the writing on the side says they're endocrine disruptor free.
Yeah, they're a brilliant brand, Skin Diligent. I do absolutely approve of them.
Love them so much. Their hydration one. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Cellular hydration.
Use 2 drops, put it on. I went and did a talk for press yesterday and I didn't even use foundation. I had that on and just put some blusher on and the mascara and a bit of lippy. Didn't even need foundation.
That's a sign of a really good product. Because increasingly, the older I get, the less I want to wear foundation. I just think, do you know what? I think I might just ditch it. And if I have a really good glow on, then I'm like, yeah, I'm happy with that. And do you fuss about, like, I'm not saying you do have lines and wrinkles, and I'm not saying they're bad, but let's just say if you did, do you fuss about that? Do you get into retinoids and things like that? Or are you like, nah, just leave it, just what you've done?
Okay, I'll be honest. So pre my baby, I had Botox. Mm-hmm. I used to have baby Botox. Post, I think I had it twice. So I just use a bit of castor oil. I think the more oily your skin is, the better. That's why I love that cellular hydration. And I like going to sleep with, you know, tallow on my skin because it helps that. I like to use a gua sha. I think they really do help. Even my partner will use it. He'll use the Kanza wand. He's like, oh, it's so good for that line down the middle of my face. I think lines and wrinkles, I take collagen every day, probably like twice a day. I think it's helped with my skin. It really, really has. I will go for regular facials. I go to a great facial lady called the Alternative Facialist, and she'll even massage, you know, she'll work on your gut and everything for your skin, for your face.
And in terms of so-called biohacking, obviously we've talked a little bit about stress, but do you use any kind of devices, wearables, apps, or even just daily habits that seem to really work for you? And stress, I think, is really crucial, and also sleep.
Definitely. So I use a weighted blanket at night. That really helps me. Even if it's summer and I've got a sheet on, a weighted blanket, I just feel like it's a cuddle. It's a big, big cuddle everywhere, down to my feet. I love it. Obviously, no screens for an hour and a half before bed. I have started using this one device. It's quite spenny, but I love it. It's called the NeuroSims device. Oh,
I have one. I'm obsessed with my NeuroSims.
Do you? I love it. I wore it on the train yesterday because I got on the train and they said, this train is not stopping at Wakefield. I was like, okay, how am I going to get home then? And I got my device out and I put it in and did a bit of work. And I was like, okay, I will get home. I will be calm. It's fine. I also used it while I was writing the book, because I found it helped my concentration as well. I use it every night while I read for half an hour.
So is this the thing? This is so funny because you just speak about this and you love yours as well. So I love that you both use that. And is this the thing that works on our limbic system?
It's vagal nerve toning.
It's vagal
nerve.
So it clips onto your tragus and emits a little electrical current. And so you're meant to be aware it's happening, but it shouldn't be uncomfortable. And yeah, and you just sit with it an hour if you can manage it. And that's it. It's great.
Yeah, I tend to do half an hour in the morning while I'm working, while I'm typing things up, and half an hour in the evening.
I suppose you could combine it with breath work as well. Could you like do two things in one or not?
You could. I mean, they suggest doing it while you're relaxed and not doing anything stressful. I think when it comes to kind of meditating and things like that, because I am aware of it, to me, it's a distraction. So
yeah,
I prefer to separate.
I've tried to have that on one ear and then a meditation in the other ear, and I'm not. I'm in two spaces and it doesn't work.
I'm exactly the same.
So Liberty, I mean, where's your happy place? I guess this is on a similar theme of anti-stress. How easy do you find it to de-stress? Do you need the NeuroSim to do it, for example? Where do you go? What do you do? Who do you see? Any sort of wellness places or practitioners? You've mentioned a few in your little black book, either in Yorkshire or in London. Like, what's your ultimate de-stress thing?
I do just love nature. That's why I left London. So, but even if I'm in London, I'll go walk around Hyde Park. The day I handed the book in, I just drove to a non-touristy reservoir because we have a lot of tourists where I live. It's because it's very pretty. And I just walked and then sat by a little stream. And I didn't even see anyone for 40 minutes. And then I bumped into a chap who I didn't know, and we had a really nice conversation, and then I left, and I felt really renewed. Just taking myself away from everything, that's my happy space. But also, I know it sounds corny, but my happy space is every morning when my little girl says in her really deep Yorkshire accent, "Is it wake up time?"
Good accent.
And I go and lie with her, and she just puts her cheek next to my cheek, and we just hold each other cheek to cheek for a good like 4 to 5 minutes, and we don't say anything, we just lie there.
So it's like an oxytocin release for both of you. Yeah, that's really cute.
It's really, really, really nice. But if I'm stressed out, a good IV to renew inside, and there's nothing better than a facial. I just love it. I did a podcast last year and people accused me of having Botox and filler and everything. All I'd done is have one whole week without a child on holiday with my girlfriends, which I hadn't done for many years because I also have a 27-year-old. And I'd had an amazing facial by the sculptress of London, and she re-sculpted my face just with her hands. And I felt renewed. I felt like a new woman.
What do you have in your IV drip to relax you? Is it glutathione or like
Good glutathione. I had glutathione recently. Glutathione and Vit-C. My best friend lives in Atlanta now, and I FaceTimed it afterwards. And I said, I feel like, you know, I was really stressed out because I got an app to help me write the book with my dyslexia, and now I've got this app, but I feel like I want to go play basketball. And she said, but you don't play basketball. I said, I know, but I feel like I want to because I just feel like I could jump up into the air. I feel amazing. So yeah, glutathione with Vit-C makes me feel like I could get into the clouds.
I got to say, after my Vit-C IV infusion, I felt exactly the same, exactly the same. Like in terms of downtime, and when you've said you don't have an awful lot, you're busy, like all of us are busy, but what are you watching, reading, listening to? Any recommendations on all of the above?
No, I'm reading because I got it. I'm telling everyone that will listen. I told everyone on the train yesterday. I'm reading Martha Beck's book on integrity. Love this woman. I heard her on a podcast and I went out and bought 3 of her books. That's how much I was like, I have to read this woman's book.
All of this is going in the show notes. This is great. I love a book recommendation. Thank you. Thank you.
Love that. So that's what's underneath my bed at the moment. And I'll always be reading, I don't know, some kind of chick lit before bed, some kind of thing. I've read every single Mike Gale book going, so I'm waiting for him to bring out another book. Read, I think, 25 of his. So I like something light, something about human love, be it friendship, you know, relationships to parents, whatever it is. And then in the morning, I always read for half an hour to an hour before my family get up in the morning.
So quite a big question, but outside of anyone in your immediate kind of circle of friends and family, who do you admire?
Do you know what? I admire a lot of people that come to see me because it takes a lot to ask for help. It really does. And it also takes a lot, I think, to be willing to explore, to do the work, to help yourself. So I admire that anyone that says, I can't do this on my own. And that's one thing I was really not good at in my 20s and 30s. You know, I was a single mum for a long time and busy running around and even taking my daughter on jobs abroad, all sorts of things. And I wasn't very good at asking for help. So I admire anyone that says, hey, I need help. I can't do this on my own.
And what's the best advice? Advice that you've received, but also what advice would you give yourself 10 or 20 years ago if you had the opportunity?
20 years ago, so at 30, I'd say ask for help, ask now. Ask now, Liberty. You can't just keep going on like this, ask for help. Because when I did, I found the right person. You know, when I put it out that I need help, someone found me the right person. And that person truly helped me. What advice would I give? Don't play small. Nicole Kidman's coach, I used to act, Nicole Kidman's coach, Susan Batson, she told me this ages ago. You're fearless, don't dumb down. You are more, way more than you think you are. Don't dumb yourself down because others aren't where you are going to be. And I would give that advice to everybody because we are often greater than we think we are, and we often play small to make everyone else feel more comfortable.
Gosh, that's powerful.
I love that. Thank you so much, Liberty. And for all of you listening, you can find out more about Liberty and book a consultation at www.integrativeliberty.co.uk. And do go and follow Liberty on Instagram at mills.liberty.
Thank you for having me. I really, really do appreciate it. And hopefully this podcast has made a difference to somebody out there.
And that ends this week's podcast. If you want to find out more about me and my work, or maybe book a consultation, head to drsophieschotter.com and you can find me on socials at drsophieschotter. And again, thank you so much for listening.